For our text this morning, I'd like to read from the first book of Thessalonians, chapter 5, and reading verses 1 through 11. That's 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and beginning with the first verse, and reading the words in Jesus' name. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Amen. The apostle, when he wrote this, he wrote it as an encouragement. But mankind, being what it is, or being who it is, always wants to know, okay, show us some signs. Or they want to know, okay, give us some kind of a hint so that we kind of know when this is going to take place. I can't help but thinking, and Lord willing, I'm wrong, but I can't help but thinking that, do we want to know when the times are going to be so that we could kind of somehow straighten out our lives just before it happens? Or do we really want to know? And do we want to know so that we could continue to proclaim God's message to those who do not believe? Each individual answers that themselves. I'm certainly not going to stand in judgment of anybody. But mankind, being what he is, that hope or that thought does come around, at least for me. I don't know about for you, but in the fourth chapter, actually from about verse 11, I'd like to read that, maybe through to the end of that chapter. And it has to do with Christ's coming. And he says, "In that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work your own work with your own hands, we commanded you that you may walk honestly towards them that are without and that you may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them, or will not precede them, which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." He's encouraging the people of that time and us also today that we would not be ignorant of these things that are going to take place. Not be ignorant about those, he says, concerning them which are asleep. He's not talking about people who are have been living a sinful life, but he's talking about believers. And in here, in this translation, they call it being asleep. But basically what he's saying is that I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are dead. Not dead in spirit, but dead in body. And don't sorrow for them. even as the others which have no hope. There is no sorrow for those who are in Christ and who have passed on. And that's something that I've noticed down through time and through the ages. Those who have passed on and who have not led a life, at least from an outward sense, have not led a life of Christ, or have not led a life of compassion and forgiveness, their relatives, if you will, seems to be an awful lot of sorrow. And not that we as believers aren't sorrowful. I'm not even trying to suggest that. But the difference between a believer and an unbeliever, the believer knows where that person is going. The believer knows that that person is but asleep, and that when Christ comes, they will be risen up into glory. The unbeliever doesn't have that surety. The unbeliever does not have that certain assurity that this is where he is going or this is who he has been. They voice it. I've heard it voiced before. And I'm sure they certainly hope that that's the way it will be, and so do I. Because nobody wants to condemn anybody to hell. God doesn't want to. God wants all to believe. God wants all to be saved. And he's giving each and every one of us that opportunity. He says, So if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. There was confusion back in those days. What's going to happen? These people have passed away and they're in the ground or they're in a tomb or whatever they happen to do with them. What's going to happen to them? And there's a concern and there's a doubt. We're living with this human flesh. And the apostle here is trying to encourage them and convince them that, hey, everything's going to be okay. And it's going to be this, and it's the same today. Everything is going to be okay for those who believe and trust in God. For those who believe and trust in Christ. And there is a comfort and a knowledge knowing that with that faith and with that belief that we will one day be with him. In verse 16, he says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." Now visualize this in your mind if you would. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Can you picture that? Can you picture Christ coming? A lot of times, I've seen pictures, of course, when you see the, you know, sunrise or something. The other day, I was looking out the door. As most of you know, I get up early, and I was looking out, and the sun was just starting to come up. And the rays of light were just kind of cascading over to the west, towards the west. And I couldn't help but think that this is a preliminary view of what it's going to be like when Jesus comes. That the light that is going to be shown abroad and the light that is going to shine from here is going to be so radiant that the sun will not be able to even remotely try to compete with it. Now, these are Clark's words. I'm not taking it out of Scripture. But this is the picture that I see. The brilliance of Christ. Because when we see him come, what are we seeing? We're seeing salvation. We're seeing the end of our tribulation and of our trials and our problems and all of the things that Satan are casting on us. And we are going to meet him. And we are going to be with him forever. And there will not be any more problems. There will not, as Scripture says, there will be no sorrow, no sighing, no crying. And then he says, "And then we shall, which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." We'll be caught up to be with him. And then in the end he says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Scripture is comforting. Scripture is there for us to use to comfort one another, to encourage one another, to convince one another that one day we will be with him, and that if we are going through a trying time, that there are words in Scripture that can convince us that God is still there and God is going to be with us. Now, he continues on now in verse 5, and he says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in a night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Of the times and seasons, Paul doesn't differentiate between the times and the seasons. The term time in the Greek form signifies a time, whether it be old or new, or time coming up or time having been. But it is a stretch of time. And the word seasons indicates a specific point in time. But here the apostle doesn't do that. He says of the times and seasons, grouping them together, so that all of the times and all of the seasons are not important. Brethren, you don't have any need that I write these to you. You don't need to know those things. What you need to do is to continue in your walk in faith. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, in verse 3, "And when they shall say, peace and safety." Have you ever heard that? Whether from a law enforcement or a politician, an army. And I'm not even remotely saying, well, okay, they said this, so the time is done. What I'm saying is that when the opinion or the basic general idea is with the population that there is peace and safety, Scripture tells us then sudden destruction comes upon them. This term sudden destruction is very significant. It's not something that we just read over and, well, sudden destruction, okay, then, you know, something happened to them and they're all gone. No. This term sudden destruction comes upon them means the type of destruction for Sodom and Gomorrah, or the type of destruction with Noah. Total, complete annihilation. Gone. I told the story before about a program that I was watching, and the people who were investigating it, the scientists and the archaeologists and so on and so forth, were in the area of where they believed Sodom and Gomorrah to have been. And the only thing they found was blackened rock. There was absolutely no indication of any type of civilization ever having been there, other than the blackened rock. And the blackened rock indicated something that was very destructive. And that was just, it just ate up everything that happened to be in that area. This is the type of destruction that the apostle is talking about. Sudden destruction cometh upon them. Complete, total. Not just a little bit here and a little bit there. Total destruction. And it will come as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Obviously, I can't relate to that. But you ladies that have gone through birth, I understand that it comes on quick. And it happens fast. And it happens without any warning. And this is what he's talking about. But then he goes on and he says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." We're not in darkness. We know who our Savior is. We know where our salvation lies. And we also have the instruction manual. All we have to do is read it. And don't read it like I do when I get a new tool. I know how to use this. And I end up breaking something or doing something wrong. And then I have to go back to the instruction manual to find out how to figure it out. Sometimes we do that with Scripture. I know what we need to do. I know what I have to do. And I do it wrong. And then I have to go back in here and I have to read it again and find out, okay, I was wrong. I didn't do that right. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of darkness nor of night. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us be alert and self-controlled. Let us be to a point of watchfulness so that we don't stumble and fall. In Philippians chapter 4, there's a way that he speaks of in verse 8. And the writer, the Apostle Paul, speaks of this in this way, that this is how we are supposed to live. And this is kind of the instruction for us, the instruction manual, that will help us to fulfill what God or Christ wants of us. And he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. I know this is familiar to all of us, but how many times have we read over this so quick that we kind of forget the words? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest or honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's how we're supposed to live our life. That's the type of stuff that we're supposed to follow and consider as we walk through this life. Think of the good things, the honorable things. Think of the virtuous things. Think of the stuff that's good, not evil. Don't pay attention to what someone else is saying. Don't pay attention to what someone is trying to convince you of. Pay attention to what God has said and what he has written. Those are the things that will lead us to our heavenly home. Not the things of someone that somebody's recording on a computer or some news person or whatever. So let us not sleep as do others, but watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. I know I've said it before, but I remember my dad telling me there's nothing good ever happens after midnight. Probably not much good that happens before midnight either. But the point is that when darkness comes, that's when evil takes a foothold. Because evil feels that it can do things without being seen. It can do things without being accountable. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Use all of God's protection. Not just a portion of it that we think we need but don't need the rest. And believe me, the time will come you're going to need the rest. Use all of it. And with prayer continually turning to him to help him. There's times where you're going to go through a tough time. There's times where you feel that he's not going to answer you. The Psalms, the book of Psalms, is filled with a lot of that. Where David cries out, Lord, how long do I have to wait? How long do I have to put up with this before you finally help me? There's time we will go through those types of times. But the end result, regardless of whether it's here on this earth or after we pass, the end result will be such that we will not even remember the tough times. For God has not appointed, or not God has not destined us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not our destiny to be overcome by the evilness and the wickedness. God did not appoint us to that. But what he did was to appoint us to the obtaining of salvation through Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Whether we are alive or we are dead, when that day comes, we will be with him. There's no getting around it, because we lived according to what he wanted us to do. We lived according to faith. And we will be with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, exhort one another, and edify one another, or build each other up, even so as also you do. We do that, but do we do it often enough? Do we go up to somebody and say, hey, I know you're going through a tough time, and I'm praying for you. And that's it. That's all. You don't have to do any more than that. If the occasion arises and you can, great. But just the fact that they know that you recognize the difficult time that they're going through, a lot of times is enough. A lot of times it's sufficient. And it can be as a strengthening to them. So that those who believe, who we consider our brothers and sisters in Christ, know that there is somebody out there who cares. There is somebody out there who understands that, hey, this is a tough walk. And if I need to, they're as close as the telephone. And I don't know of anybody that will ever say, hey, look, I don't have time to do this right now. I'll call you later. No, it doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. If it does, then shame on them. Because the most important thing in this life is to help one another. And not to be so focused on our own stuff that we can't take it, that we can't help each other out. In his name, amen. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would uplift us. Father, we pray that we would learn to live according to your scripture. That, Father, that we would be reminded each and every day of how it is that we are to, and what it is that we are to do. Many times our focus is taken away from your word and taken away from your bond and from your faith. But Father, we know that there are things that happen. And we always come back. Satan would indeed try to take us away. Satan would indeed try to tempt us and so that we would walk away. But Father, we also know that you are so much more powerful than he is. And we know that you, through your faith, or through our faith in you, that Father, that you will lift us up and you will comfort us. Now, Father, we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us, to be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.